Today on Real Radio.
The Christian life is a paradox. And I'm not talking about the Christian life that you see on TV. And I'm not talking about the Christian life that even some of us portray. And we're a bunch of liars. We come walking through the door and I'll ask how you are. And you'll go, just fine, praise the Lord. And you're not doing fine, you're hurting.
You make me, break me. Change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the two letters written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 2, where Paul uses military and agricultural figures of speech to describe what is expected of us as followers of Jesus. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a presentation called The Careful Soldier.
As Paul in the Mamertine prison writes to dear Timothy away in Ephesus, pastoring that church there, and young Timothy under the pressures and under the labor of pastoring a ministry that was in the midst of false doctrine, of perilous times, he receives this message from dear Paul, and it is one that, as we've been studying, has really shaken some of us to the core. I know myself, it has been that way for me, that it has caused me to step back and to make sure and to test again my own heart. Are we building the church of God according to the Word of God? And Timothy really comes across in our hearts in a most holy way, I think. And so we pick up, and starting now in verse 11, if God should grant us the grace to get to verse 19, we'll be blessed if he does. So now verse 11, Paul says to dear Timothy, this is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. And if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things. Charge them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those that are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. In verses 11, 12, and 13, it is understood by church historians, and it's understood by tradition, that verses 11, 12, and 13 were actually statements that the church would recite when they would come together. It was almost like a pledge and a reminder. It was a moment of exhortation. And the church would recite this publicly, and it would be very common in that day and age. And I know if this morning I asked you to stand up, and don't worry, I won't, but we'd stand up and recite it one to another here, it would be very scriptural concerning the New Testament church in its beginnings. Also, it was brought to pass in a little song. It became a hymn that the church would sing. And they have found some ancient writings that had music to these three verses. But I want to draw your attention to this. Paul says in verse 11, this is a faithful saying. For if we died If we died with him, we shall also live with him. Now this word if literally means in the Greek, for as much as, or to the extent of. And that reads a little bit different now. He says, for to the extent that we have died with him, we shall also live with him. We understand that to be two interpretations of this verse. And I believe they're both accurate. Number one, some lean towards the physical realm. And that's true. When we die, being a believer, being saved, the Bible says in John 3, being born again. If you're born again, the moment you die, you will awake in his likeness. You will be in heaven. And so if we have died with him, that means believing in faith when we go to the grave, immediately we go to be with Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we understand that and we rejoice. In fact, that's why we have so often the peace that we have, is knowing that we're going to be with Jesus. But I tell you what, I like to lean right now because it's better, I think, applied to our lives in the second way of interpretation, and that is in the spiritual realm. Paul, I believe, is saying, to the extent that we have died with Christ, we shall also live with him. I believe he's talking about right now, right here and right now. Jesus says in Luke 17:33, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whoever shall lose or give up. The word in the Greek is let out, the reel, let out the line. Whoever shall let out the line concerning his life shall save his life. And as you begin to think about the day and age in which we live, everybody's trying to hang on to their life. You mention about dying in Christ, Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. But the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And it sounds kind of crazy. And in a lot of churches today, you don't want to mention those things. And to some of you this morning, you don't have the slightest bit of understanding concerning these things. The Christian life is a paradox. And I'm not talking about the Christian life that you see on TV. And I'm not talking about the Christian life that even some of us portray. And we're a bunch of liars. We come walking through the door and I'll ask how you are. And you'll go, just fine, praise the Lord. And you're not doing fine, you're hurting. And for some reason in our lives we think that we've just got to smile all the time as a Christian. First of all, you shouldn't be dragging all your cares behind you and dumping them on everybody, especially when it comes to the ministry. There's a lot of things plaguing my heart this morning. I don't want to bring them up here. God wants to minister to you. And that's our motive and our intent. But we are people. We feel, we experience the things of this life. And in honesty, we do suffer. But the fact of the matter is, if we begin to shield our lives and not feel and not be what the Bible says, dying to our flesh, we actually begin to protect our lives. And Jesus says, if you seek to protect your life, you're going to lose it. You're going to become very self-centered, very self-seeking, and your life will become very precious to you and you only. But Jesus says, if you let out the reel, and it kind of paints this type of a picture. If you let your life out, if you spend your life for somebody else, the picture that it's painted really is a kite. If you let the line out on a kite, it soars. If you bring the reel in, if you bring the string in, what does the kite do when there's a wind blowing? It bounces against the ground, it hits and goes back and forth, and it just kind of does this hop, hop, hop kind of thing on the ground. Have you ever seen that? Until you let the line out. Jesus says, man, let the line out. Stop being so careful. If we have died with Christ, if we as believers have come to the cross and said, Jesus, I love you. I want you to live your life through me, Lord. I don't want to live anymore. It's only then that you experience true Christian living. And that's a paradox. I understand that. It kind of goes like this. I'm going to use this example because we used it at a funeral this week and it works. You take the bulb, a ranunculus, a gladiola, and you plant that ugly little bugger in the ground. It comes up and grows and produces a beautiful flower. But only after that bulb dies. It must die before it can produce a flower. God has engineered it that way. And in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 36, Paul says, "Don't be foolish. What you sow into the ground does not come up unless it first dies." And so nature has painted this picture. But we want to protect our lives. And we don't want to die to the flesh. We don't want to die to our own desires and our own scheming. Now, I know that if I say this a couple more times, and it is a few more times in the message, that you're going to be sitting here saying, "Jack, this church is never going to grow if you talk like this. It's just, nope, people don't want to hear this. It's not popular." But you know what? Sometimes you have to eat your vegetables. We do. Make a long story short, there's a friend in the family who had these people over for dinner. And this little guy, Mikey, he's sitting down, and they're all eating roast beef and mashed potatoes, and they had beautiful garden fresh peas all gathered up there. And little Mikey, he didn't like his vegetables at all, didn't want to hear about them. And everyone had been saying, "Mikey, they're good for you, man. You got to eat these things." And we do that now to Ashley. She's as skinny as a little rail. And we say, "Eat those things. You got to eat the orange vegetable. You got to eat the green vegetable. You got to eat this because it has all these nutrients and all, and you got to eat them." And she goes, no, and we got to tackle her and shove it down her mouth. Well, you know what Mikey did? Everyone's talking, the conversation's going, and everyone's having a great time, and Mikey's totally quiet and silent. And they looked over at Mikey, and he had peas stuffed inside of his ears on both sides. He had peas stuck under his chin. He had him stuffed in his diaper. And this is the worst part of all, because this is what sent him to the hospital. He took peas and he shoved them up his nose so far they had to take him to the ER to get the peas out of his head. What was he doing? "I want to fit in. I know I ought to eat my vegetables. I don't want to do this. And so I'm going to do what a lot of Christians do. I'm going to stuff the peas in my ears and in my nose and in my diaper and everywhere but in my heart." And Jesus says, "Man, don't protect your life. Come to me, die with me, and I'll give you life." And we go, "Right on, Captain Jesus." And we're stuffing peas. We're stuffing the Word of God. Verses like Matthew chapter 16. Oh, we just tuck that in our diaper because we don't want to hear about it. But Jesus says, no, only in true Christianity does life come after death. And it's very important. "For if we died with him, we shall also live with him in the promise of the great resurrection." Now, verse 12. By the way, verse 11 and verse 12 are two positives. Half of verse 12 and verse 13 are negatives. Verse 12, "If we endure..." Now, here you go again, Jack. "If we endure," that word endure, some of your Bibles might have it translated as suffer. It means in the Greek literally to stay under or to wait behind a load. You ever been going up a hill and there's a logging truck parked in front of you? Or whatever, a camper, a motorhome going through the grapevine? Endure. You got to wait behind. Or have you ever been under a great load? And you have to bear it up. The Bible tells us, Jack's not saying this, so don't take issue with me. The Bible says, to the extent that we endure, we shall also reign with Christ. And I like that. Boy, let me tell you, I like it a lot, especially on mornings like this. I'm going through something right now. And I'm saying, Jesus, I don't have the strength. Give me the strength. And I'm like this. Well, praise God. First of all, he won't put something too heavy on me that I can't carry in his grace and in his power. But the good news is, if you are bearing a load this morning as a Christian soldier, as a careful, healthy Christian soldier who's eating their vegetables, you're bearing that load, but there's going to be a reward to you someday. It may be in this life. It may be in the life to come. God's going to bless you. If you endure, Jesus says, blessed is he who endures until the end. He shall be saved. God will give you the strength to endure. God will give you the power to stay under. And all of us, by the way, if we stand for godliness, we'll have to stay under or wait behind the load of persecution or sometimes pain. Sometimes it's pain because of illness. Sometimes it's pain because of persecution. I talked with somebody this week how their heart was grieved and tormented over the pain that they experience from their family who are non-believers, and they reject them and mock them for their faith. Hey, there's going to be a great reward for you. The Word of God says so. If we endure, we shall also reign with Jesus. Now, this enduring, this suffering, there's certainly emotional suffering, physical suffering, spiritual suffering. It's going to come to all of our lives. But as a Christian, listen, if you're not a Christian this morning, if you're not bowing your heart to Jesus, just tune out for a minute. Christian, you are promised that your suffering has purpose and direction. Isn't that great? You have in your life a path that God has ordained for you to follow, and it is only brought about through suffering. The book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus left us an example in his suffering that we should follow. And we don't want to hear this. Listen, to the Christian, this is great hope. Man, when you're suffering, the number one thing I want to know, is there a reason for this? What's the reason? Jesus, what's the story? I had suffered with Crohn's disease. It's an incurable thing. I'll have it forever. But for 9 months, getting poked and stuck and filled up with stuff, turned upside down, pictures taken, put these things in your mouth, and all this stuff. For 9 months, they didn't know what was wrong. And I was so tired, and I just got so weary, and I, you know, God, just, if you're going to take me home, take me home. And I remember doing my thing, which you do when you have that. And I remember looking out the window, up in the sky. And I said, Lord, I'm just wasting away. Lost 21 pounds. I could do that right now, but at that time I didn't need it. And oh, Lord. And the Lord spoke to my heart. And he gave me Philippians 3:10. He said, my strength, my power will be upon you through your sufferings. You'll learn. And when I heard that, I had hope. I had direction, and you have direction in your suffering. The Bible tells us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run the race with endurance or with suffering. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set in front of him endured the cross. If you're a Christian, you have a direction, you have a path in your suffering. Jesus got on the cross. He didn't wiggle and squiggle and squirm. And no. He willfully laid his life down, drove the nails through his hands as they crucified him. And for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. What do you think was before him? A picnic, a vacation, just call the 1-800 number and you'll have this weekend free. It was you, your name, your salvation. They raised him up and he looked out over eternity to see us there through the purchased work on the cross that he did. He saw us while we yet were never born. The Bible says that he had us on his heart. And he was raised up. And he says that if I'm raised up, and really since I shall be raised up, I will draw all men unto myself. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Because you know what? I'm not worth it. But to Christ, I'm worth it. Isn't that something? What a crack up. He thinks I'm something. He thinks you're something. But how do we endure this? If we're exhorted by Paul to endure, how do we do it? You might want to write this down. How do I apply this to my life? I, for one, two simple verses. Isaiah 43, 11, I believe it is. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Waiting upon the Lord, seeking him, being in his word, getting direction, letting him speak. And then Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. We live in a day we cannot be still. We have fast food, we have microwaves, we have these jets that take us across the Atlantic in 3.5 hours. Everything's quick, everything's fast. And if you want to accept it or not, we are in that mode. And we come to Christianity and we say, okay, here I am, Lord. I'm waiting. Now fill me. Okay. Come on, God, I know you're faster than that. Come on. I mean, you built everything in 6 days. Come on, let's go. And the Lord says, yeah, just hang on a minute. Wait a minute. And we can't hear that wait. What is the worst thing to hear? Honey, can you help me? Turn the faucet off. I've got my hand down here. Hang on a minute. I'll be right there. Wait a minute. We don't want to hear that. We want to have something now. And Christianity is a lifelong work. It takes time. It takes time. I don't know about you, but as we grow along in our Christian experience, for me, the joys get more joyous and the hard parts get harder. And the Lord tells me often, I'm doing surgery on you. I'm working, I'm cutting away, I'm chipping away. And I'm running underneath the scalpel and God's going, hold still. And I tell you, when I decide to wait is when he cuts the best and it's quicker. And when he's done, I go, yes! But when I'm running around and God's trying to change my life, I'm not listening to the Bible. I'm not listening to the Lord. Man, I'm running underneath that little scalpel while he's trying to fix my life. And maybe I'll get hurt here and there by my own doing. We need to be careful. We need to wait. We need to stand still.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 11 through 19, it's a presentation called The Careful Soldier, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we are making available this series through 1 and 2 Timothy, all on one convenient MP3 CD. For your tax-deductible contribution of any amount to Real Radio, we'll send it your way. Now, to get in touch with us here at Real Radio, our phone number, which is toll-free, is 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send your gift online. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 917-RADIO. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. And in his word.
Inside you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.